and welcome to the Amish Voice conference call. And I'll begin with prayer. Good evening, Father. Thank you for letting us meet together and for enabling us to all call from where we are to learn more about your word, what you expect of us, and how we can better serve you, better proclaim your truth and lead others to you, and be a good example to others of what you want from us and how we can be the best citizens and followers of Jesus that we can be. So may we learn from each other and be kind and gentle and loving and yet truthful, willing to do whatever you say, and willing to stand upon your word and live your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So the topic tonight is commitment, dependability, and keeping one's word. I can repeat that later for those who are late. All right, but the next couple topics coming up, November 2nd, the topic is Spirit, Soul, and Body, led by Chris Beiler. In December 7th, the topic is Does God Still Speak to People in an Audible Voice? 8 Ways God Speaks to His People. And in January, when I pray for something, should I pray once or many, many times? And if I pray many times, does that show a lack of faith on my part? So, and I'll give the number now at the beginning. If you want to listen to these recordings later, you can dial 641-715-3800, 641-715-3800, and enter the PIN number 89752. So the topic tonight is one that irritates a lot of people who are on time and do keep commitments, and some people who are always late don't see a problem with it. So we need to see what God says. Does it matter? Does it not matter? Is it lying if you're not on time, if you can help it, or how does it affect our lives? So we know that God is always faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" And think how it would change our lives if we couldn't depend upon God, if we didn't know that he was going to keep his word, or if he was unreliable. So it means a lot for us to have God reliable. So what would it mean, what should it mean to others that Christians are reliable? So what are your beginning thoughts on the topic? Are there things that irritate you about being late? Or are you always late? Are you always on time? Does it matter to you? What do you think?
I would have a question, Paul. What would you consider late? If the meeting starts at 8 o'clock, when is it late? If you got there at 7:59, is it late?
I had a friend once in the Marines, and he said that when the commanding officer told his sergeant to be there at a certain time, like 8 o'clock, the sergeant knew that that meant 15 minutes early. So the sergeant told his guys to be there at 7:45. And then the next guy down told his men, and they knew they had to be early for the sergeant, so they ended up being there. Everybody that told them to be at a certain time, they had to be there. They knew it meant 15 minutes early, so they said they ended up being there an hour or two early and just stood around waiting, so they weren't late.
I like that.
We all know that when you go to a meeting and the meeting's supposed to start at a certain time, to me, because I like to be on time. I don't like to just be on time. I like to be early so that things can start on time. If you walk in as soon as a meeting starts, you interrupt it if the meeting starts on time. So that's, to me, being on time means being there ready so at the time you can start. What's it mean to you? Anybody else?
If they're not there on time, then that's a lack of interest to me. For me, I like to be there on time, ready to go when it's time. So
interesting.
I guess anything after 8 o'clock would be late.
That's interesting how you brought up that it shows a lack of faith, a lack of interest. That I've wondered about that. If I'm excited about going somewhere, I'm going to try to be there early and get the best seat because
that's right.
Something, you know, worth being there and getting a front row seat. But if I don't have an interest, it's not going to matter to me if I come in there late, and you know. So, yeah, that's how I think, too.
Yeah, I know most people in our culture aren't going to be late for a football game, but they don't being late to church. Or I know people that they'll never be late for work, but they'll come to church 10 minutes late every Sunday. And they wouldn't do that to their employer. But it doesn't matter as much, it seems.
Yeah, and that bothers me.
Here's a quote from a pastor from Florida, Pastor Todd Brainerd, talking about punctuality. He says, "Punctuality is being on time. It is a sensitivity to timeliness. Punctuality is very closely related to dependability and responsibility. It is related to the stewardship of our time and other resources. It is also related to our love for others. For lack of it can show disrespect and cause frustration, confusion, and interruption of fellowship. To be on time is to keep your word and proves that you can be trusted and regarded as a reliable person. It shows that you respect the people that you're meeting and that you care as much about their time as your own. In other words, it demonstrates that you're not a selfish person who thinks he is more important than everyone else and that everyone else ought to wait around for him. It shows that you are diligent and dependable and that you do what you've agreed to do."
It's amazing that you brought out the fact of a football game. This is a happening of today, or not today, it was last night. My grandson plays football for a college at Missouri here, and my son went to the game and is on his way home now. None of the players ever showed up. The bus broke down on the way to the game. And my immediate thought was, this is the only reason I bring up, why in the world didn't they have a backup plan in case the vehicle broke down? But as we enter this meeting, I have to ask myself, how many times do we have a backup plan if our means of transportation fails? Just the thought.
I think there's a difference, too, between if you're late because something happened that's an emergency and was unexpected, or it just doesn't matter to the person. Because so what if you missed the first song at church, or so what if you missed the first part of the meeting?
If I could say this gently, and it really is important to me to be 5 or 10 minutes early. If I'm going somewhere, I always think of, you know, a traffic jam, or I think of, you know, something that could go wrong along the way. I mean, I always tell people this way. We have white lines as margins to give us a little bit of a margin between the white line and the edge of the road, because if we hit the white line, we're still good. If they move the white line all the way to the edge and we hit the white line and we're going 70 miles an hour, we could lose control. So they give us that little margin. Same way with a book. When they print books, they don't print all the way to the edge because they know there's going to have to be, I don't know what they do. They come down, cut their page edges so that it's nice and square. So they have to leave themselves a little bit of a margin so they don't cut text off. The same goes for life. For those of us who do not allow ourselves any margin at all, we're bound to fall off the edge. We're bound to crash. And it's okay if you crash on your own, but if you crash and it hurts others or others are involved, such as a meeting, and we have to sit there and wait, or we wait and finally get started because you haven't showed up yet, then it's a distraction when you walk in. Now there's the question, do we back up and start over, or do we continue? And, you know, that's my two cents about being on time. It's so simple. Just, you know, here's the other thing. I just got to say this. I think people who are late are always late. Once in a while being late, people will accept that, but it seems that the same people are always late. And personally, I believe it's a sin against God to live that lifestyle. So that's my two cents.
But those same people that are always late. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, this is Andy. I have a person in my life that is continually late. I mean continually late. And I've counseled him a number of times. And I said, and he's a very, very smart person. Intelligent, can do anything and so forth. But I keep reminding him, dependability is the greatest ability. I don't care how smart you are, how much you can do, or what it is. If you can't honor your word and be there when you say you're going to be there, you're not a dependable person.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Amen. Amen. It's such an important part, particularly, I guess that's why not everyone is a leader. I think leaders that are true and are going to go somewhere, they're going to be on time. And if they fail in that, they're going to fail in other areas of leadership.
Yeah. So some of you are worked in business or business owners or run places. What do you think of employees that show up late? Would you rather have an employee that show up early and be a little less talented, or somebody shows up on time all the time?
I try to help them be on time, because if they want to write down the same time, everybody times in checks in the same time, and they're write their time down, then I ask them the question, are you somebody that steals, or are you going to be honest? And that's the way I answer. And they usually come in and be on time most of the time. If it's a reason, I can understand, but if it's just because not wanting to get up or lazy, I don't understand that. Because if they write down their time and they're not in their full time, then they're stealing.
Amen.
Basically stealing, that's the way I put it to, or explain it to my workers. And they're usually all on time. I am one that's 15 to 30 minutes early all the time. And for them to, I explain to them, for them to make the day, they will be on time, and everybody will work together, and it just makes for a happy day. It works that way.
I have a question for a person that, you know, they seem to have it together in most areas, but the one area that they just really lack in is being on time. Do you get to a point where you just say, okay, I'm going to focus on their positive parts and let this negative go? Or how do you deal with that? Very, very interested in knowing, you know, don't, particularly as Christians, you know, we have to be very careful that we don't allow something like that that's very valuable, but at what point is it worth cutting a relationship off, or how do you deal with it?
If it starts hurting the rest of the crew, I will let them go regardless.
Mm.
Because it makes the whole crew wonder whether I keep my word or whether I don't. If I tell them they got to be on time, they have three strikes. If the three strikes is out and they try me, they're gone. You know, that's the way I think that God would want it, is if just to be honest. If we say something, we need to back it up. If it's not a sin, if it's what makes them liable and a better worker, 99% of the time, those workers, if I let them go, come back within a week and beg, and they're on time from there on.
Wow.
I like what the one brother said about stealing time. You know, that if they're like that, they're stealing your time. And if they steal your money, you would tell them, okay, either, you know, repent or you're gone. So it could be you work the same way with stealing your time, not being on time.
Correct.
When I had my business, that was something that was very, very important to me, for all my workers to be on time. I had an office girl one time that when the phone started ringing at 9 o'clock, I expected her to be in the office, and she started being late. One day, 2 minutes late. Next day, you know, a couple minutes, and this went on for a few days, and I saw she was starting to be later and later. And I just said, you better be here at 9 o'clock to answer that phone. Be in here and ready, because when that phone rings and you're not here to answer it, I'm going to have to get someone that's going to be here, dependable. And she was never late after that.
Wow.
So. my guys were always early because I'm one that's very time conscious. And I think what people that are late, I think they just really don't care. It's an area they don't really care, and seems like they don't do anything about it. And they need to. They need to step up and realize what it's, how it affects others. And they need to, what I always do, always have done, is let's say I had an appointment at 3 o'clock somewhere, maybe an hour away from my house or whatever. During the day, if I was wherever I was, I would think in my mind, now let me see, if I'm 30 minutes away from the house and I got to get home, spend 30 minutes to get cleaned up, ready to go, and it's going to take me another hour to get to the meeting, I want to be 15 minutes earlier. I'll figure out in my mind, now what time do I have to leave wherever I'm at to be on time for the next meeting. And I think that's what people a lot of times don't do. They don't plan ahead in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's always important.
And also another thing that I do with my employees, I reward them accordingly. They can have a raise if they're on time as well. That's another thing I put in there. But, and it makes them be on time.
What do you think about that, Joe?
I don't know. It's definitely. I mean, that I guess that's. I'd like to hear from some other ones too. You know how they respond.
Yeah, and what do you think when you're when you make an appointment to visit the doctor or the dentist, and you sit there, you're on time, and you sit there for 20 minutes or half an hour waiting because the doctor scheduled 22 more appointments than he could fit in.
That is a complete other subject when you start talking about doctors.
That's why men don't go to the doctor in the first place.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, because we don't like it because they're taking our time. We did our part and showed up on time, and they didn't keep their word.
That's correct.
So is it a sin to be consistently late, do you think?
If you're asking me, yes, it's a sin. If you're a Christian, there's just things like that. It's an integrity thing. It really is. It's mm-hmm. a sin because it goes back to stealing. It goes back to not being honest or, to me, it shows there are deeper issues.
Yes,
I agree.
May I ask this question? How many of you believe that being on time is doing good? Is that a part of being good or doing good?
I believe it's a part of being honest, and I never want to be late for God's blessings, so I do not want to be late for my blessings either.
If I read my Bible correctly, it says, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin.
Yep.
Yeah, and 1 Corinthians 4 says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And part of being faithful, it seems to be, is working the complete day, being on time. He that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much, Luke 16 says. And so, yeah, it seems to me it is too. And it's a trust issue. If you can't trust somebody to be on time, it doesn't matter how good they are. You can't trust them. Because they're not keeping their word.
True.
You're saying you can't trust them in other things. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've had somebody that I asked to do a job for me, and he was great at it. But he would say, I'll have it to you by this date, and he was always late. So I would rather have somebody on time that didn't do as well, that I could depend upon. Because at least you know the job's going to get done. And it's not just... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if the little things are important, and I think you brought this out even with the scripture you just read. If the little things are important, then that automatically means the big things are important. You know, but if the little details, and that's what I tell I've told some of the people that work with me on a daily basis, details, you know, keep details are important. If you make those important, the rest of it will work out. It'll look great.
Yeah, and it relates to a lot of different areas of life. I think. How many times have you had somebody borrow a tool or borrow a book? and they'll tell you they'll return it, and you still don't know where it is. Or they only return it after you bug them for 6 months. Or somebody that says, I'll call you back, and you never hear back. And I know, in my experience too, pastors are often guilty of that. You contact the church, and they say, we'll get back to you, and you never hear from them again. Or somebody says, I'll do something for you, I'll meet you at a certain time, I'll work for you for a year, and they don't keep their commitment. And God says in James and in Matthew, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And if you say, I'll be there at a certain time or I'll do something, then it seems like it is lying if you don't, if you can help it.
You know, you brought up, you know, books not being returned, but I like to bring something else up. It seems to me like this happens a lot in my life, and maybe it's just me, but people will come up and say, hey, can you get that for me? I don't have the money right now, and I'll buy it. And, you know, I'll give you the money, and then, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 years later, you may even have said something to remind them more than once, and still they didn't pay the money back. I got a guy right now that owes me about $700. He didn't just take me once. He took me twice. Really nice guy. Claims to be a Christian brother. But you can remind him over and over and over, and it's almost like, you know, I don't know, you know, it comes down to, it's either going to mean that we lose our friendship connection if I push it, or do I just let it go and just not let him take any, you know, not give him, obviously not give him any more money.
Well, the Bible does address the money issue between people, and I think we as Christians need to really heed that. If we give money to someone, we should give it and not even expect it back. That's what it admonishes us to do, and I think we forget that sometimes, and I'm as guilty as anybody else, thinking, well, you know, he should give it back, but then again, I gave it on the wrong basis also, so it works two ways with me.
But two, it's different. If you give somebody something who needs it, if you give money to the poor, or if you give it to a Christian friend who borrows something, what would you do if you borrowed your, you know, car or something valuable and you never got it back? Because every time they do something like that, you lose trust in them, and they hurt you. Christians should be the most dependable, honest, on-time people there are, because we should be people of our word.
Couldn't agree with you more. You know, we're talking, you know, the word back 50 years ago, handshake, was all it took to borrow large sums of money. You know, maybe goes back 100 years ago, but, you know, when people said something, they meant it. Today, I feel like it don't matter what culture you're from. You can take pride in the fact that you're from a group of people or a culture that is still honest for the most part, but I it's not like it was even 20, 30 years ago. Times have changed. Words don't mean as much anymore. Little white lies, it's okay. You know, everybody does it. Stretched truth, it's okay. You know, in my mind, it's not an outright lie, so as long as I just stretch it a little bit, it's okay. But I don't think it's okay. I mean, I think we all know it's not okay. And it's sad. It's sad that we, you know, unbelieving world, yes, but how about us Christians? Should we not be able to confidently say yes or no and then go by that?
I think what
I believe
you were saying,
so.
Joe, about, Joe, what you were saying about giving, while you had said something about you gave someone some money and they haven't paid it back. And I think tonight our subject is accountability and dependability and keeping our word. It's not so much the giving. You know, the giver, one brother there shared the scripture, and I believe it's that way. A giver needs to give. If someone comes to borrow my shovel, we need to let him take that shovel and not expecting it back, whatever we give. That's what the Bible teaches us, okay? But tonight the subject is to the person that comes and borrows it. Be accountable. You know, you borrowed it from your neighbor, you borrowed it from whoever, and be accountable, be respectful of the person that lent it to you, whatever. Take it back when you're through with it. And I've had it over the years, and I have a person now that borrows stuff, and the only way I get it back, if I go to my shed and I need it and it's not there, then I have to go and get it. But as a giver, I guess I should just go to the store and buy another one. But the accountability part of it is that
I'm caught in that a lot too. Just last week at 10 o'clock at night, a guy needed some tools and he come and borrowed them. I knew when he left, or there was just something in my spirit that said I will never see him. So in those cases, I just went and bought what I needed and replaced it. But usually I will go to him and ask him, and then if it caused hard feelings, I will just go and buy him and go on. But that's a hard one. That's cool.
Yeah. I have a question. Why is it that some of you have said, if some of you have said that if you've had employees that are late and you don't mind firing them, but if they'll take your shovel, you'll go buy another shovel. How is that different? They're still taking your time.
We're not talking about our employees working. What somebody that we pay wages is what I was talking about. Somebody that I pay good wages, and they're constantly late, and maybe they're 30 minutes late or 20 minutes late every day. That's what I'm talking about on the wages now. This was a person that knew me. I barely knew him, but he come and borrowed and was really in need because of his family. In that case, is what I'm talking about. That's the difference. I mean, that's totally two different things that I was referring to.
And if we have employees, and, you know, you as an I was in the cabinet business myself, so if I had cabinets scheduled to be finished at a certain time, I've given those people my word to have those cabinets for them, okay? And then if the employee steals from your time, it's going to be like a domino effect. It affects your business. It affects your accountability to the people. So it's very important that you can't keep an employee like that when there's one available that's going to be dependable.
That's my way of looking at it, yes.
Amen. Well, going back to, do you guys agree that it's not what it used to be? You know, we hear a lot of times good old days, and sometimes I'm not so sure that the good old days were really that much better, because we've always lived in a sinful world. We've always had problems, you know, just like we do today. But overall, don't you guys think it was a lot more, you know, the word meant a lot more even 50 to 100 years ago than it does today?
Oh, yes.
The morals were even for people that were not Christians, their morals 50 years ago was, I'm not so sure it was better than the Christians, most Christians today. Their word meant something and they stood behind it. But today it's not like that.
Yeah.
As the leaders go, so go the people.
That's correct.
So if it is a sin, if we agree that being late and not being dependable and keeping your word is a sin, are we obligated then to go to these people who are always late as brothers and let them know that they're sinning?
I do.
Okay. Hey, Paul, can you throw a couple scenarios out? I mean, are you asking about a scenario where the person doesn't get paid? It's maybe a Bible study, for instance. What do you do in a Bible study where, you know, it's free time, it's volunteer time. So, you know, we start at whatever time and they show up 15 minutes late every time. How would you handle that?
To me, it's the same as a Sunday school class or a church service. You're disrupting everybody else who's there on time.
But do you go to that person at some point and say, hey, you know what, can you not be there on time, you know, maybe challenge them and hold them accountable? Do you do that? Or well, I deal with it a lot.
I would do that, but the goal, as the Bible said, would be to restore the person, to let them see that they're hurting other people, let them see that they're being selfish and not keeping their word, or not how much they're affecting other people, and hope that they change.
Wouldn't Galatians 6:1 come in effect here? If one be overtaken with a fault, you did our spiritual, restore such a one, and help him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you said it. I think it's so common, and even among Christians now, that a lot of Christians don't see it as being wrong.
I went to a church for 8 years. If you weren't inside the auditorium when the services started, the outside doors were locked.
Mm-hmm.
And you could come in through the singing service, but when the preaching service started, the doors were locked. And people
that
there... What?
Go ahead.
The
Go
people
ahead.
There in that church, I never seen as many people a half hour ahead of church service time in church as I did in that church. Seemed like virtually 75% of the people would be there. 75, you know, 15, 20, at least 15, most of them 20 to 30 minutes early. And it would be a visiting time and fellowshipping with other people. It was interesting what happened. I mean, it really was. The person that was upset that the church had the doors locked would do one of two things. Either next time they would be there on time, or they gave an excuse, and that become their excuse to not go to church. And I don't say that's right or wrong, but I know that it caused the members to fellowship a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we stay there and fellowship afterwards, but would that be an evangelistic church or a group church?
Oh, no. This is evangelistic church, and yes, people would stay. There would be people there an hour afterwards fellowshipping.
Because usually the sinners that need Jesus usually don't come on time. They come late is what
now,
I was referring to.
Right.
There's so many in our church, the sinners that are totally lost and are looking for Jesus, they're at the bottom trying to look up. They're never on time. They're always, you might even be, the pastor might be halfway through service and they come in, but there's always those that are on guard, but we would bring them in and sit them down and then we would witness to them afterwards. So if the doors are locked, I would think that wouldn't be evangelistic church. It would just be a group church.
The thing that I guess made a difference in this, the auditorium as a rule was fully packed with people. It was a very disruptive if somebody came in during the preaching service because of having to take them to find a seat and so forth. So that was part of it. And the other thing that covers the area that you're talking about, which is very important, and I agree with you on that, is there was remote video where the people were able to sit down and listen to the sermon, and of course they would have the opportunity of making decisions afterwards also. But I think it was done more to create the atmosphere to the members and to the people. Hey, this is important and you need to be here on time. I think that was the main reason the preacher did it.
Yeah. And I guess I could kind of see that, but that would go back on being a good steward.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or not a good steward.
Right.
Let's talk about accountability a little bit. I mean, we got a few minutes left here. I know a person that really strives to measure up as a Christian in his daily walk normally doesn't have a problem to be held accountable or to ask a Christian brother to hold him accountable. Someone, of course, that is not, doesn't really like being held accountable or is not seeking to live that kind of a daily walk may buck any kind of accountability. But as a Christian, do you normally okay that in your life? Is it okay if I were to come up and say, hey, you know, can I hold you accountable? Can we hold each other accountable on our daily walk, you know, how are you doing in your scripture reading? Do you have daily devotions? What's your prayer life like? You know, are you staying pure, sticking, you know, close to your spouse? Are you doing what you need to be doing as a husband or a wife? You know, how do you guys feel about accountability? You know, it goes along, right along with what we are talking about, but just everyday life, even as Christians. Does that bother you? Are you okay with it? Do you have an accountability partner in your life now, or have you had one in the past, and how did that make you feel?
I would definitely want to be accountable. I've never had a brother, or like we keep one another accountable, but if somebody comes up to me and I would want to be accountable, whether it's work or in my Christian life. If they see something that's not right, then I would want them to come and I would want to be accountable.
Amen.
One thing that's bothered me about that is, I mean, I think we all should be accountable. It's good because it's easy to hide things if we're not. But some of the places I've been and seen is they make a big deal about being accountable. So you go find somebody else in the church, you become accountable to them, but there are things you don't share with your spouse. You won't tell your wife how you're feeling, you won't tell your wife what you're struggling with or pray with her, but you'll tell a friend. And so, and to me, the spouse should be the first place you go. And if it's an accountability
That's
thing
right.
about the spouse, then you tell somebody else. But a lot of times we neglect our own families and think we're being accountable because we pray with somebody else about a sin.
No, I think spouse should be number one.
I think really, and I'm not disagreeing, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here, if I may use that word. But really our accountability is to God, and I'd like to give you just a short story. It's very important to me, and it's one that has made me wonder and be more accountable in years afterwards. Back in 1983, I promised God I'd talk to somebody about the Lord every day that year. And that was basically what I considered a New Year's resolution or whatever. Doesn't matter, but I wanted to commit myself to talk to somebody actively every day about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. January the 1st, I went to bed. It was 10 o'clock. And all of a sudden, God reminded me of my promise. And I said, oh my goodness, I can't even keep a promise one day. I got up, put my clothes on. My wife asked me where I was going. I said, I got to go to talk to somebody about the Lord. And she said, now? I said, now. I've got 2 hours left. I can find somebody. And, of course, the negativism rubbed off on me, and I kept thinking, who in the world's going to listen to me at this time of the night? Who am I going to find? And as I walked by the phone, and this covers another area that we're going to speak about in the future, does God talk to us audibly? I don't know. But I know that day, I walked to the phone by the phone, and just as clear as if my wife had told me, says, there's a phone, call somebody. And I said, what are you talking about? I answered myself here, okay? And I said, how can I call somebody at 10 at night? They're really going to get mad at me. And then the voice said to me, but it's not 10 o'clock on the West Coast. Ah, Al. My brother, and I called him, and I hadn't known it. He had just come through open heart surgery. I didn't even know it. He was out maybe a week or two. That was the easiest person I ever led to Christ.
Wow.
That night. I asked his wife if she wanted to get saved. She said no. It wasn't until Al died in 1985. Last words I said to Al was, if I never see you again, I had to leave and go to Indiana. I said, but if I never leave you again, I'm going to see you in heaven. He, with a tube in his mouth and a gleam in his eye, shook his head yes and squeezed my hand. Now, when he died, and he died before I got back to see him, I called his wife. I was the one that relate to her. It was now his ex-wife, but they seen each other every year. And I told her, and I said, do you want to see Al again?
And she said, yes, I sure do. I said, you remember what he did 10 years ago? She said, I sure do. I said, do you want to do that now? She said, I sure do. And I say that because my accountability was to God, and he reminded me. And I'll shut up for the evening.
Wow, powerful.
Well, I agree that our accountability is to God first, but I was, and that's an awesome story.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like, can you hear me? I had my phone muted. Am I back on?
Yes, yes.
Well, I like what you said there about the accountability to God, because especially men that struggle with maybe porn and stuff like that, or any sin as far as that goes, I tried that years ago, and it didn't work. I remember years ago, it didn't work. I was accountable to, I was at this one brother's met and stuff, and we were accountable to each other. We sort of teamed up. And I remember it didn't really work that well for me until I became accountable to God. When I put my eyes on Jesus and I got my relationship where it needed to be with Jesus, you know, it's amazing. What worked for me, I didn't even have to be accountable to that brother.
Amen.
And I agree. I agree. Right. Our wife needs to be the first one. If there's a person that we're accountable to, okay, it's our wife. And yes. If you're accountable to God and you're accountable, then you're accountable to your wife. I don't want to say you don't need to be accountable to others, but in the way that we're talking right now, you know, we're going to be accountable to
Amen.
One another.
Right.
That I love that story. That just fits so well to what I learned in my walk.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you try to be accountable to each other in that way, you have not yet, and I keep saying that, you have not yet taken off that veil of unbelief that's hanging on your shoulders. When you take
Amen.
Off that veil of unbelief, I tell you what, all those things fall off with it. And when you get that relationship with the Lord Jesus, accountability comes with that.
Wow.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I love that.
Yes, that's good. I agree.
So the real, I mean, you know, it just goes right back to the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
They are not my fruit. They are the fruit of the Spirit. And if I want those fruits to show up,
yes.
I have to plug in.
Yes.
You know, and you know, as men, we can hold each other accountable and, you know, manufacture our own whatever fruit, but it's not the real stuff. It's, you know, I just love what you said, Chris.
It's receiving his righteousness, Joel. Mm-hmm. You know, it says our own righteousness as filthy rags. And the more we try, it's like getting victory. We sing the song, Victory in Jesus, okay?
Jesus.
And in the past, I struggled and struggled to be an overcomer in different things. If I was late, you know, these people that are late, that's what we're talking about, accountability. If you will never get victory over anything in your life, never. You can struggle as hard as you want. You will not get victory. The only way there's victory in your life is to receive his victory, to receive his righteousness and walk in it.
Yes.
That's the only way.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Is true walking in Jesus.
Well, okay, so Chris, here I am. I want it so bad. How do I get it? What if I want it so bad, but I don't
How
feel like...
How did you receive your salvation? You received it by faith.
Mm.
So you receive that too, just by faith. Just reach
Amen.
Out and receive it. By faith. By faith.
By faith, that's right.
Just believe. You know, just believe. I've shared this story many times. I love the blind Bartimaeus. Read the story. Before he got up and walked up to Jesus, Jesus asked him, what do you want? But it says before he walked up, he took off his garment, and I picture that as a garment of unbelief, because he went up with believing that Jesus And I believe that garment was dirty and filthy, whatever. He sat there for how many years? Blind. And that garment came off of him, that garment of unbelief, and walked up. And so many struggles we have in our lives and everything. These things that we're trying to overcome. These, well, we'll maybe get into it when we get on that subject about soul, spirit, spirit, soul, and body. But so many things that we try to overcome, we take a pill for it or whatever, and we need to go to the root of the problem, and that is just simply unbelief.
Yes.
We receive it by faith.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There I am preaching again. Hallelujah.
Good.
That's good preaching. That's good preaching. Okay. I think of something else. You sometimes wake up in the morning and you don't even notice it. It starts so gradually. Thoughts start entering your mind, maybe negative thoughts about a situation or a person. And before you know it, it's almost devouring you. And I have literally just called out by faith, Lord Jesus, protect my mind. Right now, just protect my mind. Just remove this and put a hedge around my mind and do not allow it to enter. And as simple as just acting out by faith and receiving it and being completely cleared, and maybe an hour or two later, all of a sudden it might come to me that, wow, at that very moment, I lost track of all of that and I was protected. God did that by just simply asking.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And then you received it.
Awesome.
You received it by faith. You know, our mind, our biggest battle is between our ears. You know, in Philippians 4, it says, if I can give some scripture here, it says, be careful for nothing. In everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I love that. Let your requests be known unto God. And it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he says, finally, brethren. But one day I was reading that, and that word finally, it just jumped out to me, and it just says, but Chris, say, you know, whatsoever things are true, pure, just, holy, those things, lovely, think on these things. And if there be any praise, think on these things. Then he goes on to say, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. That's Paul talking there. He says, do, and he shall be with you. So it's like, wow. You know,
that's awesome.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says there, be careful for nothing. And careful, worry, not to be,
right.
not to worry. And it's just, so it's like you said, Joe, it's, you know, we need to cast out imaginations in other places, it says. Bring into thought, every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen. Well, Paul, why don't you
so
give us
we
that
have
number?
People that don't okay. care, they come late to church, they don't care, and so on, they have a problem. Inner problem that needs to be taken care of. Because I like the way one brother said at the beginning, there's no interest. There's no interest. And you take a lot of times those same people, if there's a ball game, there's an interest. They'll be there first to get the best seats. You know, and so it's just, it comes down to what really, where's your heart? What are you truly interested in?
All right, so yeah, if you want to pass this number on to give to other people to listen to or listen to this conference call again later. The phone number is 641-715-3800. 641-715-3800 and enter PIN number 89752. Thanks for joining us and for the discussion, and we have a volunteer to close in prayer.
Father, thank you for this hour that we could just come together and share from all of our hearts. Thank you for the wisdom that you've given each one of us and for the words that were brought out. And I pray that our discussion would be used over and over as others come and listen to the recording. in years to come. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us as leaders to be the person that we all desire to be, and that is to be on time, to be dependable, to be someone that others can look to and learn from. Lord, help us to be those kinds of people. Bless everyone that has joined us here tonight, even those who may have just listened in. I pray, God, that you would bless us. Give us a great week this week. Help us to serve you from gladness of our heart. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. And there is a